There's an outline in the bulletin that you can follow along for the morning message entitled The Loftiness of Christian Love. And the lesson comes from that little book, Philemon, chapter 1. And I would like to read from the NIV words found in verses 9 and 10, where Paul is writing. In verse 9, he says, I appeal to you on the basis of love. I appeal to you for my son, Onesimus. The loftiness of God's love is found in the amazing fact that it is unconditional towards all people. It embraces everyone, no matter who they are, what they have done, or where they live. Now, such love is described for us in the words of the Apostle John, when he says in writing, John chapter 3, verse 16, for God so loved the world, that's the embrace of God's love, that he gave, that's the evidence of God's love, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. Or consider the words of the Apostle Paul when he said in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, but God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now, in order to receive such love, man does not need to work for it. He doesn't have to qualify for it. He doesn't have to do penance for it. It comes to each and every person by means of the grace of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Now, you and I need to come to grips with that truth. We need to let it grip us before we think about the words that Paul is writing to Philemon. This is the background we must have in order to appreciate what Paul had to say to his dear friend Philemon regarding Onesimus as he writes this magnificent letter of Christian love to him. I'm sure that some of us realize this morning that Onesimus was a slave from Colossae who had fled from his master Philemon to Rome. And there in Rome, he was in prison for his crime. Under Roman law, Philemon's power was unlimited in dealing with this slave. He could have been branded on the forehead. He could have been condemned to double labor or even put to death by crucifixion if caught stealing. Now, it is at this point that Paul comes along and he sets forth what Christian love is all about. This fugitive from justice came within the reach of Saul at Rome and was converted to Christ under his ministry. After his conversion, Onesimus became a friend, a trusted friend, and a loyal helper to Paul in the work. And now Paul writes this letter and he pleads with Philemon to receive Onesimus back by forgiving him and accept him now as a beloved son in the faith and a brother in the kingdom. I want you to notice from verses 9 and 15 these words of Paul. He says, I appeal to you on the basis of love that you take him back. Joseph Lightfoot, the great English theologian of past years, suggests that according to Paul's words, he literally wanted Philemon to emancipate him, set him free. And we notice in the words found in verses 16 and 21, notice the words. Paul says, accept him back no longer as a slave, but better than a slave. As a dear brother, confident of your obedience, I write to you knowing that you will even do more then I ask. In those words, I believe we behold the liberation of Onesimus. Now, there are four truths found in this marvelous and moving story of Christian love that I desire to leave with you this morning. Consider, first of all, to begin with, that Christian love, now get this, ministers to the most desperate. You ought to get that down. That's what Christian love does. Those without hope, those who are ready to throw in the towel, those who are willing to surrender to despair, those who are in extreme need. And I believe as we read the verses this morning, we find out that that's where Onesimus found himself. Notice the words found in verse 11. Formerly he was useless to you. And there's a characteristic of this man who was desperate. He was useless. The King James puts it, which in time past was to you unprofitable. Useless and unprofitable. Then we read in verse 12 and 16, Paul says, I am sending him back to you and no longer a slave. Or notice what Paul states in verse 18 about Onesimus. If he has done you any wrong or owes you anything, charge it to me. Now, what do we find in those words that Paul is telling us about Onesimus? Well, he was a runaway slave without any legal rights or social privileges. He was a notorious criminal, according to the words here, who had committed a list of crimes until he was finally caught and thrown into prison. The money that he stole from Philemon must have been quite a sum because it got him from Colossae to Rome. And then he was a social outcast. He was a misfit in society. He was a loser. He was considered beyond help. He was what a psychiatrist called incorrigible. He couldn't be changed. Not reformable. Unmanageable. He was indeed desperate. And Christian love ministers to the desperate. But I have good news for you this morning. The gospel is for the desperate. And some of you this morning know what I'm talking about. Because there's where Jesus Christ reached you and me. We were desperate. So there in Rome in prison, having no future, with no one to defend him, he comes face to face with Jesus Christ. And as I've already stated, the man who led him to Christ was this first century Christian, the Apostle Paul. The amazing circumstances under which the providence of God brought them together, we don't know how that happened. But we know that Paul realized that Jesus Christ can help desperate people. And the love of Christ that changed Paul got a hold of Onesimus. And such love softened him. It shattered him. It changed him. And eventually it saved him. The Bible doesn't give us a detailed description of how or what took place, but I want you to note that at the end of the meeting that he had with the Apostle Paul, Onesimus the slave became Onesimus the saint. Christian love ministers to the desperate, and he had a revolutionary experience with Christ. He experienced what the Apostle Paul was talking about when he said, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. Yes, indeed, my friend. That's what Christian love does. It ministers to the most desperate. The worst of men through redemptive love can become the best of men. And that's what happened to Onesimus. Perhaps that's where God finds some of you this morning. You say, Pastor Reg, I'm desperate. I need to be lifted. I need to be helped. You might find yourself in the category of the worst of men that ever walked upon this planet. But the same God that reached Onesimus is the same God that can reach you, whoever you are, wherever you are, whatever you are. The question remains, will you let him? He's waiting to accept you right now. And I pray that you will. Christian love ministers to the most desperate. You know, sometimes I think that you and I forget that. Sometimes we have the erroneous and fallacious view that the gospel's just for good people. And we forget that Christ said, I didn't come to call the righteous. I came to call sinners who are troubled and weak and down, and they need to be lifted. Christian love. Do you know somebody where you live that's this morning down and needs to be lifted? Paul did, and he reached out in Christian love, and he ministered to a desperate man. Now let's go on to a second thought. Christian love not only ministers to the most desperate, but it also manifests. Get that down. It manifests the best politeness. Now, such courtesy is displayed by Paul in verses 8 and 9 as he makes his case to Philemon for the release of Onesimus. He says, therefore, although in Christ I could be bold and order you to do what you ought to do, yet I appeal to you on the basis of love. What polished man is Paul had? What respect? You know, two things stand out regarding those words. For one thing, Paul exhibits a request that is not demanding. Hear Paul's words in verse 14. But I did not want to do anything without your consent, so that any favor you do will be spontaneous and not forced. Now here Paul presents himself as a Christian gentleman. His greatness of soul is seen in his tactful petition. Instead of demanding, we find him requesting. He softens his voice, and in courtesy of tone, the spiritual father graciously pleads for Onesimus, his son. Now, by merit of his authority as an apostle, he could have demanded that Philemon accept him back, but he doesn't. Such a request by Paul himself was ready, who was ready himself to sacrifice his love, his life, and his love for Christ. He was willing to die. Can you imagine when Philemon receives this request? That he would take it lightly? I don't think so. May God give us more Christians this morning with the tactful and discernment of the Apostle Paul. Saints who know what to say and how to say it and when to say it. That was Paul. Not demanding. Not showing his authority. But exhibiting Christian love. And then also I want you to know that Paul exhibits not only a request that is not demanding, but he exhibits a response that is not commanding. I like Philip's rendering of verses 8 and 9. Paul says, "And although I could rely on my authority in Christ and dare to order you to do what I consider right, I am not going to do that. No, I am appealing to the love of yours." What an amazing temperament that Paul displayed as he makes his case to Philemon about Onesimus. With modest appeal and gentleness of spirit, Paul sets forth his request. And I want you to note that his request is filled with love and integrity and insensitivity. The love which constrained Paul and the wisdom which guided Paul is worthy of our admiration and praise and notification. This first century Christian was wise enough to realize that courtesy is always better than exhibiting authority when dealing with people. Listen to me this morning. You and I will always accomplish more in our dealing with people when we do it out of courtesy and not demanding and commanding. It is only in selected cases where people don't conform to certain laws of responsibility that the big stick of authority needs to be used. How many people have turned their backs upon us and have not responded and have not listened to us and have not followed the way of Christ because we come on with authority? Too hard, too harsh. And then we have here the example of Paul. I tell you, the most difficult of people that you and I will ever be confronted with will respond if we do it in the same attitude and with the same courtesy that the Apostle Paul exhibited here before Philemon. If you and I would exhibit that Christian love and that Christian courtesy, I want to tell you today, love will always win out. It did with Paul when he dealt with Philemon, and it will be the same experience that you and I will have. The loftiness of Christian love, the height of it, the breadth of it, and what it can accomplish. Christian love not only ministers to the most desperate and manifests the best politeness, but it mandates, you ought to get that down, it mandates the highest integrity. We find this truth in the words of verse 12. Notice what Paul says. "I am sending him, who is my very heart, back to you." Paul continues in verse 13. "I would like to keep him with me, so that he could take your place in helping me while I am in chains for the gospel." Paul recognized here that the right of ownership had to be respected. Onesimus was legally the property of Philemon. And though Paul cherished the thought of keeping him as a helper in the work, he was too much of a gentleman to presume on the kindness of even a beloved friend like Philemon. But you know, I wonder how others would have dealt with that situation. I wonder how you would have dealt with it in me. Others, unlike Paul, not so full of integrity, might have thought this way: "Philemon, you didn't capture him. You had no idea where he was located. You probably would never have seen him again. Besides, he's become extremely helpful to me, and I'm not going to send him back." Now, I want you to know that Paul would have none of that thinking along those lines. Christian integrity in all of its beauty had to prevail. So Paul, being the humble man that he was, full of integrity, because he knew it was the right thing to do, he realized that restitution for his crime had to be made. The wrong had to be made right. And although God had forgiven him and he had become a Christian, Paul knew that Onesimus still must face the consequences of his wrongdoing. I say to you this morning and to myself, Christianity and the love that describes it mandates the highest integrity from each and every one of us. We as believers must never compromise our high convictions. We must never cut corners, evade issues, sidestep challenges when it comes to Christian integrity. Because Christian love goes the way that Paul went. Some years ago, I remember about reading a man by the name of John Mitchell of Dallas, Texas. And Mr. Mitchell wrote a book entitled The Christian in Business. And in that book, he tells about a young man while in college, he had a part-time night job with Mr. Mitchell's company. And because the men on the night shift were trusted college fellows, no supervision was needed. They were on their own. A year later, the man left the plant and moved to another state. And sometime after that, Mr. Mitchell received this letter from this young man. He said, and I quote, "The past few weeks and months have been the most thrilling in my Christian experience. But along with the richness of fellowship has come the searching of the Word of God. On several occasions, when as a nighttime employer of the John E. Mitchell Company, I came to work, I punched in the time clock, then left to do other things of my own choosing, and return hours later to punch out and go home." He says, and I quote, "This was just plain stealing. The Lord has already graciously forgiven me, and at this time I ask you for your forgiveness." Now, if the letter had stopped there, and that was all, how much respect do you think that Mr. Mitchell would have for the testimony of that young man? But it didn't stop there. It went on. My guess is that the amount to be paid back would be about $60. As soon as I am financially able, I will send you the money. Mr. Mitchell's reply was gracious and forgiving, but it made no offer to cancel the obligation. When the money came, the check was endorsed over to the young man's church and given to him. You see, the whole transaction, it saved Christianity from becoming just a dull sentimentality, but one that had high moral standards. The loftiness of Christian love. One final thought. Christian love is found in this thrilling story, not only ministers to the most desperate, and it does, not only manifests the best politeness, and it does, but it mandates the highest integrity, and it does. But notice this now, it endeavors to mediate the worst of situations. Notice what Paul states to Philemon in verses 15 and 16. that you might have him back for good, no longer as a slave, but better than a slave, as a dear brother. And then he adds in verse 17, as a brother in the Lord. Now here we find Paul in Christian love endeavoring to reconcile Onesimus back to Philemon. But he's even expecting more than that. Paul makes it clear that Onesimus can no longer be regarded as a thing, as a possession, as a tool, but now he must be accepted back as a beloved brother in Christ. His relationship must no longer be that of a slave by ownership, but a son by adoption in Christ. Now I want you to notice, Paul does not outwardly ask Philemon to do that, to free him. But he believed in his heart that it would be done, and even more. And in Christian love, he was expecting the best from Philemon. But in reality, we don't really know. When Paul gave Onesimus that letter to take back to Philemon, we don't even know outwardly if he accepted it. We don't know if he accepted Onesimus back, if he forgave him, if he freed him. But the evidence seems to point out that he did. It seems that Paul got his prayer answered, and Onesimus was reconciled back to his master. More than that, he was not only accepted back, but tradition tells us that he was sent back to Paul to help in the work of the ministry. Later, St. Ignatius, the early church father, mentioned that he became bishop of Ephesus, and eventually he was martyred and his legs were broken on the rack. Imagine all of this was accomplished, not through force, not through authority, but through Christian love. What a message that has for each and every one of us. Because that's what Paul says there in verse 9. I appeal to you on the basis of love, and the power of such love transformed Onesimus from being unprofitable to profitable, and being from useless to useful. And he lived up to his name. You know what his name means? Pastor Dave does. Profitable. That was his name. A criminal who was down in the dungeon of defeat. Desperate. There is love's power in full blossom when we're dealing with people. And when you and I approach things that way, I want to tell you things change. Take, for example, your neighbor and mine. If they are treated negatively, spoken to harshly without exhibiting a reconciling spirit, your relationship with that neighbor will diminish rather than increase. On the other hand, have you ever realized what would happen if you and I would express the spirit of Christian love? It would mediate the most difficult of situations. It did for Paul, and it will do it for you and me. Is this not what Paul brings out superbly in that great chapter, the hymn of love, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, when he says, love never fails. And it doesn't.
And there you have it.
The loftiness of Christian love is demonstrated by an apostle who expressed it, by a criminal who experienced it, and by a master who was willing to accept it. It ministers to the most desperate. How we need to know that. It manifests the best politeness. You and I will never get anywhere by being unkind, non-polite, non-Christian when we deal with people. It mandates the highest integrity. And it mediates the worst of situations. How many business meetings that are being held across this country in churches where this is never experienced? Someone has said, Lord, may I be a shining light for all the world to see your goodness and your love displayed as you reach out through me. There's a lesson here for each and every one of us this morning. And as we come to the Lord's table, whoever you are, wherever you are, spiritually speaking, what a wonderful opportunity that we can take time and just address this issue between us and Christ. And it just might be that maybe some of us have to say, Lord, forgive me, my attitude towards someone else, and the way I treat them. Because some people look at us when we do that and they say, if that's what you call Christianity, you can have it because I don't want anything to do with it. The best exhibit of what Christ is like is through those of us who profess to be his followers. And sometimes we blow it, and we're guilty, and we fail. But thank God this morning he forgives, and we can go on and get victory over it. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for speaking to each and every one of us. Thank you for these dear friends, for each and every one of them. They love you. And yet we realize, Lord, that sometimes we do fail you in this area, and I include myself, and we just need a rekindling of that love that you had at Calvary's cross. I wonder this morning, with every head bowed and every eye closed, maybe in these quiet moments God has been speaking to you. There it is, marvelously, wonderfully exhibited in the Apostle Paul. You say, well, where did he get that spirit? He got it from Jesus. Where are you and I going to get it from? But maybe God's been speaking to your heart just this morning and saying, you need to grow in that gift, that wonderful love, that fruit, and I'm going to give it to you. Anyone like that this morning? I see that hand. Okay, wonderful. Anyone else? Just put it right up and say, Lord, God, you've spoken to my heart this morning. I just want to love you more and others more. Anyone else before we close? Okay, see that hand? See that hand? Heavenly Father, we thank you for these, but it's more than the hand, it's the heart. And we pray that you will continue to speak. Now we thank you, Lord, for this service. Bless us as we prepare our hearts for the communion service, and we shall be careful to give thee the praise, for we ask it in your precious name. Amen.